Well, I wonder if this week you saw ITV News Wales interviewed Owen Filer from Cwmbran. Now, Mr. Filer is a very sprightly 100-year-old Welshman. He was pleased to tell us he has four children, all of whom are pensioners, which is quite something. He was born in the days of David Lloyd George when he was Prime Minister, and Mr. Filer remembers the hardship of the Great Depression and then World War II. And then in this interview, Mr. Filer was asked how the current pandemic compared with those difficult days. He replied that now was worse than the war. And the interviewer was obviously somewhat taken aback by this, so asked, well, how so? And Mr. Filer replied, well, today's threat is unseen. And that is very scary. And many of us have felt that fear. We wonder where is the virus lurking, on which surfaces maybe, in whom? Because after all, we know we may encounter someone who seems in very fine fettle, maybe as strong as an ox, and yet they are carriers of the virus, and we know where that might lead. Well, today's passage in Matthew's Gospel alerts us to what may be unseen, at least initially, and yet it is dangerous. Even deadly. So I'll read for us Matthew 26, verses 69 to 75. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you two are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the cock crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Well, you remember not long before this incident, Jesus and his disciples had reached Jerusalem at long last. Do you remember that entrance into the city, a momentous occasion, the crowds, the adulation, the fanfare, the fulfillment of all their hopes? But since then, it hadn't turned out as Peter, for one, had expected. Jesus had seemed to develop what maybe appeared to Peter as a defeatist mentality. He kept dwelling on his impending death. Jesus' initial popularity had waned, and then in Gethsemane, do you remember, the mob came for Jesus. But Jesus offered no resistance as they seized him and led him away. Last week, we saw Jesus face trial. Remember, one man before the might of the authorities, that courtroom rigged against him. Yet, under that most extreme pressure, Jesus had not buckled. Quite the opposite, he'd stood firm. Remember, he unashamedly proclaimed that he was the great promised king before whom every person one day will stand. That sentence pronounced that he was worthy of death. And it's at that point that Matthew now shows us Peter, verse 69. Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. No doubt he was pondering what had happened, what he had seen, and no doubt considering his own position in the light of all this. And that's when the events take this sudden and unexpected turn. And through this, we see what happens when the mask slips, when the mask slips. So verse 69 goes on. A servant girl came up to Peter and said, "You also with Jesus the Galilean." Now, with the appointment of Sir Keir Starmer as the leader of the opposition, Boris Johnson now must face an eloquent QC across the dispatch box of Prime Minister's questions every week. No doubt that will prove to be quite a challenge, as we'll see how he gets on. Not so for Peter, you'd have thought. Remember, he's the brash, gung-ho fisherman. And here he is approached by a lowly servant girl. She merely observed that Peter had been with Jesus. But it's obvious Peter wasn't expecting this. The possible ramifications flashed through his mind. So he denied it by saying, "I do not know what you mean." Which, of course, is ridiculous. The girl's statement was simple, it was straightforward. But Peter does what we all do when we feel the pressure. Question the question. No straight answer. Play for time. Evade. Feign ignorance. "I don't know." Well, no doubt after this, Peter got out of there fast. He headed out towards the entrance, but only, we're told, to be approached by a second servant girl. And she commented, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Maybe Peter knew he couldn't feign ignorance again, but he had to put a stop to this line of questioning. So now he simply denies it outright. "I do not know this man." So now the pressure has led to a flat denial, that is, a barefaced lie. But of course, at this point, it's obvious Peter's greater concern is, well, it's not the truth. It's more than that. And it's alarming. His aim is to distance himself from Jesus. Notice, Peter can't even bring himself to say Jesus' name. Well, by now, Peter is no doubt desperately hoping that everyone is going to shut up and leave him alone. But it's not to be. That's not the end of it. Verse 73. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you two are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Well, now notice the challenge this time. It was that he was one of them, one of Jesus' people. And as we read it, we can't help but notice that's how the challenge often presents itself today. You don't have anything to do with the church, do you? That church or those people who hold to Jesus' words. Well, for Peter here, you might think, surely now the game is up. They've heard him. His accent gives him away. He's from up north in Galilee. And now don't forget, in Galilee, that's where Jesus made that enormous impact. He drew huge crowds. So everyone in Galilee knew about Jesus. And of course, Peter hadn't been one of the crowds. He was one of the 12. In fact, he knew Jesus so well, he's just had that intimate dinner, that Last Supper with him, only a few hours before him. Verse 74, "Then Peter began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, 'I do not know the man.'" When the pressure's on, shout louder. Be all the more adamant. And of course, Peter's behaviour is now really quite shocking. Because Jesus, we know, came to bless, to offer a way out of the curse of sin. Peter declares he would rather be cursed than to be associated with Jesus. Well, it's been a harrowing evening for Peter. And at the end, we are told, verse 75, he went out and wept bitterly. And in fact, this is the last time Peter is mentioned by name in Matthew's Gospel. And so maybe we, or maybe a first-time reader of Matthew's Gospel, would now wonder, well, where does such a spectacular failure leave Jesus' disciple Peter? Well, Matthew didn't record this passage simply to tell us about Peter. The question is, do we see who are the guilty ones? So remember, all through Matthew's Gospel, Peter has been in the thick of the action. Remember, he left his nets behind to follow Jesus. Peter had witnessed all that Jesus had done, heard his teaching. Peter had worked it out and then declared who Jesus must be, the Christ from God. And then Jesus told Peter what it would mean to follow. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself." To follow is to throw in your lot with Jesus. As Jesus put it, "Whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father." Well, Peter was adamant he would follow. Peter even, remember when Jesus told his disciples they would desert him? Well, Peter insisted, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Peter kept going. He said, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And that all it took was the words of a servant girl. The mask slipped off. That is, in these verses, we see the true Peter. His heart is revealed. He denied Jesus, and then again, and then again. He is shown for what he is, namely a desperately weak man, out to save his own skin, ready even to ditch Jesus along the way, if that's what it took. And we read this knowing Peter was the lead disciple. He was the best of them. If anyone was strong enough to remain faithful to Jesus, it was Peter. But he's been shown not to be strong enough. Are we seeing why Matthew records this? What's it saying about us and our hearts and our weaknesses? We've heard all that Jesus said about our sin, but have we really grasped how far that goes in us? That of ourselves, that in our own strength, however highly we might rate Jesus, however much we might even say he comes first before all the world has to offer, well, we just can't do it. We just aren't strong enough. In the end, of ourselves, we won't put Jesus first. And there'll be moments that show it. No doubt most of the time it's unseen. We give the impression to others, maybe even to ourselves, that we are solid followers of Christ. But what does happen for us in those moments when the pressure, maybe unexpectedly, comes on? Maybe we're in that situation where that view of that person matters so much, where we know that if we stay true to Jesus, it would cost us in other ways. I wonder if we see in Peter ways we know we've responded in the past, when we've avoided the question, evaded the issue, whether we've lied, even adamantly. And maybe even when the issue was our relationship with Jesus, we denied him. Maybe explicitly, maybe by simply staying quiet, or just somehow putting distance between us and Jesus, between us and Jesus' people. Well, with Peter, we are the guilty ones. But if we do see that, then we need to also see the gracious one. Now, Jesus isn't explicitly in these verses, but still these verses show us more of what it is about Jesus that there is to appreciate. Now, Peter may well not have known that this was going to happen, of course, how he would respond under pressure. But Jesus knew all along. Remember, he had told us just a few hours before, Jesus had said to Peter, "Truly I tell you, this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And then, as this passage tells us, when Peter denied that third time, immediately the cock crowed. And that told Peter the seriousness of denying Jesus. That anyone who denies Jesus can expect to be denied by the Father in return. And so was this then, is this the end for Peter? That's what he deserves. But did Peter also remember what Jesus said straight after the cock crowing? Back then, Jesus also said, "After I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." I wonder if Peter worked that out. What Jesus was saying was that he knew Peter would deny him. But Jesus was saying, but it won't be the end for our relationship. And sure enough, as we'll see in a few weeks' time, reading on in Matthew, after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus welcomed back this man who had denied ever knowing him. Isn't this amazing? The more we see the depths of our sin, our half-heartedness, our compromised characters, the more we see the wonder of the Lord Jesus, of Christ's compassion towards us. Isn't it wonderful? Our failure need not define us. It's not the end of the story. But where there is more sin, more awareness of sin, well, then there is yet more grace from the Lord Jesus. It's humbling and yet reassuring to know that Jesus knows us at our worst, and yet that is for whom he died. that he might forgive us and restore us and give us life with him. Well, if we've grasped all this about ourselves and about the Lord Jesus, well, what now? Well, if we are implicated with Peter, how should we respond? And then briefly, three things we've seen in Matthew's Gospel. First, come to Jesus. Back in Matthew 11, we heard these famous words from Jesus. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Jesus doesn't say, brush up and then come to me, because we could never do that. When we realise our hopelessness and helplessness, that's when we come to Jesus. We need him. And it doesn't change. We mustn't start pretending we can do this ourselves, because we can't. Keep coming to Jesus. Then build on the rock. Do you remember the end of the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus said these words, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So what will it look like today in practice to come to Jesus? What does that mean? Well, it'll mean to listen to him. Because we have his words here in Matthew's Gospel and in the rest of the Bible. And wonderfully, there are churches that hold to Jesus' teaching, where we can meet with others and listen to Jesus together. And that's what we must keep doing. We must keep doing, because we'll keep failing. And we need to hear Jesus' words of forgiveness and restoration. And we'll want to listen to our King as he tells us the way that we should live, his way and not our way. If we do that, then as Jesus puts it, a house built on the rock will stand. So come to Jesus, build on the rock, and then watch and pray. So when we first come to Jesus, we do it knowing we need his rescue. But then as we keep listening to him, it's not that we think we can now do it. We realize we still can't do it in our own strength. And as we grasp that, Jesus, do you remember, as he told the disciples in Gethsemane, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That is, we need to pray, which is to recognize our own weakness. Even as we follow Jesus, even as we are committed to him, we accept we are utterly dependent on God's strengthening by his spirit to keep on following. So we do live in days, don't we, as Mr. Filer put it, where we are acutely aware that there is a threat out there, an unseen danger to our health and our lives. But as we consider the coronavirus, have we realised this greater danger, which is within, not always immediately apparent to others or even to us, that it would be foolish, even deadly, to rely on ourselves, even as we follow Jesus, that would only end in disaster. And so then we look again to the Lord Jesus, that he knows what we are like. He knows us even better than we know ourselves. And yet still he says, come, even if we have failed him personally in the way we hope no one else will ever find out. Well, he knows, and he still says, come. That is the person for whom he went to the cross. And we are safe. And so we keep on depending on him, that he would strengthen us now to persevere until that day when, like Peter, we see the Lord Jesus once more. I'll lead us in a prayer as we close. Our Father, what we see here with Peter does humble us, because we realise that we are in the end no different. We are comforted to know that Jesus realises exactly what we are like, and yet still he went to the cross for us. We do thank you that Jesus forgives and restores us to be his people, and now strengthens us to walk in his footsteps. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.